Turning in your Bibles, please, to Psalms 119th chapter. Writing to the psalmist, he says in the 119th chapter, verses 153, verse 154, "Consider my affliction and deliver me. For I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word." Verse 159. "Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness." One of the things that I love and appreciate about the book of Psalms is in the way that the psalmist prays, talks with, surrenders, and pleads with God. While there is always a deep reverence, there is always a wonderful openness about his declarations to God. He's never fearful to lay out before God his very deepest feelings. Sometimes feelings that we're maybe afraid of, or we're fearful of, or ashamed of. Or maybe we think, well, we shouldn't have such feelings. They're real. And the psalmist and his relationship with God in prayer is real. I've come to the conclusion that whatever is on my mind, whatever might be troubling me, is an acceptable subject to bring before God. We think God doesn't know. He doesn't know our thoughts, folks. He does. He doesn't know our feelings. He does. He doesn't know our troubles. He does. I think one of the things we see through the Psalms is that God is encouraging us to bring these to Him. And we're going to see in the promises and the encouragements of the New Testament that He's there to help us. In this brief petition that we have here, that we read at the desk, I see humbleness in the prayer. The psalmist can pray in such a fashion as this before his holy God, and open to us by inspiration to see this relationship, then surely I can have that kind of relationship, where I can bring my affliction before God. Now, most all of us have situations in our lives which are very much on our mind at various times. There are a lot of different things that bring them up, a lot of different things that bring them to the forefront, or maybe make them important at that stage in our lives. But folks, we have afflictions. We have cares that come. Now, the most obvious one right now, because a lot of people are sick. A lot of people face different stages of difficulty in their illnesses. Maybe even surgery. It's on their mind. You know what minor surgery is? That's surgery somebody else is having. Do you know what major surgery is? That's what's being done to me. Minor illness or major illness, same thing. All too often we have taken and become very complacent about the flu. Now the flu is flying. And it's rampant, folks, and we don't like to think about it, but there are a lot of people that are dying from the flu. So don't call it something simple. Don't treat it lightly. Take care of yourself if you have it. See your doctor if you need to. But folks, I'll tell you where you need to go with it first. Take it to God. I think we feel, maybe I don't need to take the trivial things to God. You know. Folks, anything that happens in our life is to God not trivial. If you had a child and they get a little bit sick, do you get concerned? The parent? Real quickly. How come? Because you love them and you care for them and you want to help them. We have that kind of God. And so these situations that we have in life, whether it be illness, it might be that we have ourselves aging. Folks, I get concerned. I see the change in my life in the last 10 years. And if I live as long as my parents, I don't know what I'm going to feel like. And I don't know what I might have to face. Because with my aging also comes more situations and more difficulties and more tribulation. Or maybe I have parents and they're going through that. And I'm concerned about them and what they're dealing with, how they're feeling, and of their fears, and of their situations. Folks, we might have a child or children, whether little or whether big, that we're concerned about right now because of some situation in their life. I know people, not just here, but lots of places, their children are facing problems or situations and they're concerned about them. Maybe their children have fallen away from God in their relationship. We worry about them. Folks, just because they're out of the home doesn't mean we quit worrying. So sometimes those situations come to the forefront as a situation in our lives. Sometimes it might be that we're having financial problems or somebody else is. You're one of those people in the last number of years that haven't been able to find work. Do you think that becomes a situation in your life? You better believe it. There are other situations that come up. We talked about the job situation. There's also the spiritual situation. Folks, I might be finding myself in the middle of some kind of spiritual conflict, whether I'm trying to figure something out in my relationship with God or how I should live according to His Word. It might be a conflict. My lifestyle is wanting to lead me one way and God's teaching is wanting to lead me another. Maybe I have an opportunity at a good job, but it's not going to be something that's going to draw me closer to God, but probably just the opposite. So I have these conflicts. There's lots of different spiritual conflicts that come into our lives at times, folks. And they can be very serious. Well, what do I do when I have such conflicts? What do I do when I have such situations in my life? Well, he said, I want your attention, God. You know, if I go to somebody and I want their help, the first thing I want to do is get their attention, right? Sometimes, maybe I want Suzanne to help me, but I don't always feel like she might have my attention because she's reading a book. Or I might be even talking to my boss and I don't think I have his attention because he's on the telephone or he's talking to two other people in the room. So if it's real serious, one of the things I've learned is I go and I get a hold of him and I say, Dennis, and he'll look at me and then I know I've got his attention. Then he'll hear, the system's down. Oh, okay. I may have already told him that three or four times, but you see, once I get his attention, then I've got his attention and it becomes important to him. Well, he says, consider. We want God's attention. Consider. Think about. Now, some people say, well, some of these things are just personal. And maybe it's a selfish desire to bring them before God. Folks, it's not. Even Christ himself prays so intently that it says that his sweat is as drops of blood, that if perhaps this cup can pass from me. Did he have a situation? I'd say so. Would you? And who does he take it before? God. God. And he had God's attention, and God sent him the encouragements that he needed. Matthew, the 26th chapter, verse 39. Sorry. Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Sometimes we sort of overlook a few of these little things. He says to God, it isn't trivial. He says, bring everything. That's why the psalmist was known for the fact that he prayed through the night. He brought the good things. He brought the bad things. He brings it all before God. There were terrible responsibilities upon his shoulder as king of Israel. He was constantly having to make judgments. He was constantly having to deal with his own life and his own human interests and desires. He said, let everything be brought before God in a right attitude, yes, proper manner. There's a hymn. Oh, I've heard that one for a while, Joe. Where could I go but to the Lord? Remember that? Folks, that's our situation in life. If I want help, where else should I think of going but to God first? I remember some men, they're out here in a boat, Sea of Galilee. And a storm comes up. And their ship's about to go under. So they're sitting around taking a vote. Should we wake up Christ and ask him what to do? I don't think so. They turn to him quickly and beseech him, don't you care? He cared. He stilled the storm. And I couldn't understand their fearfulness. Psalm 69, verse 20. Reproach hath broken my heart. I am full of heaviness. And I look for some to take pity. But there is none. And for comforters, but I found. There are times when David just felt like there was nobody there for him. Then he would remember his relationship with God and he'd turn back to him. Sometimes do you feel in despair? Do you feel like there's nobody cares? Do you feel like you're all alone? Do you feel like you've got the world on your shoulders and you don't know what to do? He tells us what to do about it. He tells us where to go. Nehemiah, the 9th chapter, verse 32. Now therefore our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, who keepeth covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee. Thou hast come upon us, on our kings and on our princes, and on the priests and on the prophets, and on our fathers and on thy people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. He said, don't treat us as little or nothing. Our problems, our cares, our needs. Don't treat them little. As insignificant as I may feel, the Lord thinks about me. Psalms 40, verse 17, for I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer, making no tarry, O my God. Sometimes Satan, sometimes the problems in life, sometimes difficulties, hardships, discouragements become such that we feel that God is far from us. God is always near. If we turn to Him, seek after Him, seek after His help, seek after His will, seek after His deliverance. The sympathy of God is with His people. Isaiah 63, verse 9, in all their affliction, He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His pity, He redeemed them, and He bare them, and He carried them all the days of old. Folks, we have a God that cares. Satan tries to get us to not recognize that or to forget that or to look for greater help somewhere else. But the greatest care we can have is with God. So he pleads his cause before God. The psalmist saw himself as in need of an intercessor, one that went in his behalf to take care of the problem. One that went in his behalf to take care of the need. I assume that in his affliction, he sought God's interference, God's intercession here, don't you? Do we ever ask God to come in our behalf in something? We should. You and I as Christians have much more affirmation of God interceding for us. And the nature of it. Hebrews 4 verse 14 through 16. It's comforting to know that high priest is touched by my problems. By my needs. By my weaknesses. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed under the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in the time of need. Wow. These situations that we were talking about, and there's so many more that touch lives in so many different ways, all of these things we can take to God. And He cares. He cares. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto Him, unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us. One of the roles, one of the purposes, one of the things that He wants and enjoys doing right now is going in our behalf before God, our intercessor, our Lord, our Savior. I'll tell you what, there are lots and lots of times, spiritually, physically, that I've needed somebody on my side. And I'm thankful that I have the Son of God. There are times in my weakness that I found myself in trouble. There are times in living a life that I found myself in various situations, spiritually, physically, where I've needed help, folks. He's the one that I could turn to. He also makes intercession for us. Romans the 8th chapter, verse 34. Who is he that commandeth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. And who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. This is who's there. Not just anyone. Not just anyone. We have an advocate. Not just an intercessor, but one that's there in my behalf constantly before God. 1 John 2 verse 1. My little children, these write things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. One that goes basically and pays the price for us. The Son of God. The blood that was shed on the cross to cover my sins. If I repent and turn from those sins, confessing my wrong, then He's there in my behalf. Wow. Find He's also the assurance, the confidence that we can have in life. Hebrews 13 verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Folks, you got a problem in today's life. Can you with all boldness say, it's not going to scare me to death. I'm not going to say it'll take away all fear. But I have confidence in the situation because I know who's working in my behalf. I know who is my help. The Lord is my help. Israel forgot it. God helped Israel, delivered them from Egypt. God helped Israel, delivered them from the army, Red Sea. God helped Israel, gave them food and water. God helped Israel, gave them a spiritual covenant at Mount Sinai. Not only a way to worship Him, not only a way to bring sacrifices in connection with their sins, but gave them spiritual guidance. Here's the problem. They forgot who was their helper. First they turned to a golden calf. God says, I'm going to give you the land. Great! Wonderful! But there's giants over there. Never mind. But God told him He would help them take the land. Remember Saul and all the army? They're standing there and here's old Goliath. They forgot who was their helper. Here came little David. David didn't forget. What's the problem here? God's with us. Nothing can stop us. Folks, in the work that God has given us to do, to reach out to the lost, sometimes we become fearful, we're a little hesitant, etc. But we need to remember, in taking that word to the world, God is our helper. And convicting the sinner of their sins. God's mighty word, powerful word, it's there to help us. To guide us, to deliver us through life unto an eternity. God is our helper. He will deliver us. We need to remember that. He is our assurance. I think the confidence that the psalmist had should be all that much greater today because we have greater promise. We have greater promise of help and encouragement and surety than David and Israel had. And they had plenty. Deliver me. Here's the practical, simple petition. I have a problem. Take it away. The word that's used here, the phrasing, is like there's the intercession of the next of kin. I don't know about you. I was young, and I had all the world under control, and I knew everything. And then I lived on my own. And you know what I found out? First, my dad became smarter than I thought he was. But there were lots of times I found out that he was there to help me when I needed it. I had other relatives, not just financially, sometimes to be a pat on the back, sometimes to be the encourager, sometimes to help me with different things. I've had lots of help through life. I've had lots of people that have helped me. Wow. And I'm so thankful for it. Folks, here's one just like your brother or your father or your mother who has that kind of love and care and concern that he reaches out to. The closest possible way. Deliver me. Folks, if you're on a small boat out here and it's sinking, and you see somebody you know, a friend, a loved one, what would you say? By the way, if you get a chance, you know, I could use a little help here. If you see somebody, send them over. I don't think so. Wouldn't you, with all earnestness, cry out for help? Folks, that's what David's talking about here. Here's a fact that we enjoy. God is able to deliver us. God is able. Now, Satan tries to get us to believe that he's not there for me. Folks, he's there for us. He's in everyone. We're his child. We're reaching out to him. We're striving to serve and keep His commandments. We're part of His holy family. He's there for us. Daniel. Two cases in Daniel. Daniel, the sixth chapter. This is after Daniel has gone through the night. And the king comes over the next day. You know, it opens the hole and looks down there in the lion's den. And he asks a question. He said, Daniel, was your God able to deliver you? Daniel answers him back. Yeah. He stopped the mouth of the lions. Back up a little bit. Daniel, the third chapter. Here's three young men. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These three young men are leaders now in the land of Babylon. But they've tricked the king. They've made this decree. Here's this God. And when the music plays, everybody has to bow down to him. These three young men won't do it. Well, it was all set as a trap for them, probably, and others of the Israelites, because they're very jealous of them. They don't like them at all. They want to destroy them. So they tell the king, when the music played, these guys didn't bow down. So king calls them in. He said, music's going to play again. I've got to give you a chance. And you can bow down. Basically, they said, you can play that thing all day long. We're not going to do it. Oh, is he mad? Heat that furnace up. Get that thing boiling. I want it hotter than ever before. 7 times that's normal heat. So hot that the guys that were getting ready to toss them in died. They didn't even take them, take away their clothes or anything else. I mean, there's no hesitancy. They're all here in their clothes and they toss them in. And they look over there and of course there's 4 people in the fire. Well, he calls for them and says, come here. So they come out of the fire, okay. They don't even smell. You ever been around a fire? I don't care what it is. If you've got dishes, they smell like fire. They're covered with smoke. And these guys weren't even touched by that. And you know what they told him before all of this? We don't care because we know our God can deliver us. What did they see that day, folks? God is able to deliver. I can't say that everybody that faced persecution in the Old Testament days or the New Testament days were delivered. They were not. But God is able. Sometimes His answer is no. 2 Corinthians 1 verses 9 through 11. But we had the sentence of death on ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from a great death, doth deliver. He has delivered us from death spiritually, folks. He has delivered us from an eternal and everlasting punishment. When we've turned in obedience to His commandments, He's delivered us from sin. And that last great day, He'll be our deliverer unto a home in heaven. Deliverance from the curse of sin has been accomplished by the death of Christ. But the deliverance we often seek from our affliction is ongoing. But we need to consider. I don't think there probably was anyone that shows a greater faith or trust in the Bible in God than did Saul, the apostle. Saul had a situation. Now, a lot of people tried to figure out what it was. He just calls it a thorn in the flesh. And he asked God to deliver him from it. He said, no, you need it. He wasn't going to do it. Wow. So sometimes the answer is no. But folks, that doesn't mean God's given up. That doesn't mean that God doesn't care. That just means He has something else in mind and we have to trust Him for it. Consider how I love thy precepts is how he closed this off. He said, consider my affliction. Now his prayer is considered my affection. I love you. My heart's desire is towards you. I want to serve you and to keep your commandments in every aspect of my life. 1 Peter 3 verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And his ears are open unto their prayer, but his face is against those that do evil. Folks, if you're the first part of that verse, if you're God's children, if you're a part of the righteous, then you can expect and seek God's help because he's there for us. His life is evidence of his love. His prayer here, the psalmist, is certainly not one which he's suggesting his merits are such that God just has to answer him. He's just saying, I want to do your will. I want to serve you. I surrender to you in every way. Here's the question. Have you surrendered? Have you surrendered your will to the will of God? Have you surrendered your life to God that He might cleanse you and make you whole? repenting or turning from your sins. Acts the second chapter, verse 38. Confessing Christ as Lord, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Romans the 10th chapter. Have you been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? Acts the 22nd chapter, verse 16. Acts 2, on through the whole book. Having done that then, have we continued to rely upon God, or has Satan robbed us of our great confidence? If I face spiritual situations, whether being imprisoned, as you talked about, Revelation, the second chapter, whether it's even death for the cause of Christ, whether it's embarrassment or whatever the situation might be which we find ourselves, am I willing to turn to God for my deliverer, for my help, for my assurances? If not, why not? If you have reason to seek God's help this day in some manner that we can help you with, then we'll encourage you by singing of a song. As together we stand.